Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Steelers and Dolphins Monday night, John. What do you think happens with Anthony Ciccolo? You think he gets put on the exempt list before kickoff Monday night?
Yeah, I tend to think so. I mean, I think the fact that they told him to stay away from the team right now while they await something from the league, and you know, and actually the league has to spend a little bit of time, you know, investigating it. But that's the thing. It's like, I mean, the fact that nothing happened yesterday was a little bit of a surprise, because normally for planning purposes, you know, the league likes to make a decision by Tuesday, you know, because that's when, you know, payday and all that stuff is there. And so I guess, you know, I would have to think that there's a decent chance, because what you were talking about, three separate things on the charges and all that, and the fact that they're letting the league handle it, I think that it's taken the position that it's probably going to be something, you know, on the exempt list.
John, when did the league sort of change the way that they went about this, more of a cautious approach with handling any kind of domestic violence cases in terms of player availability?
Well, I mean, and I think that's a fair way to do it, because, you know, you can't be too quick in making judgments. And I think sometimes they get a little bit too quick because, you know, remember, this is not a court of law. It's the court of Roger Goodell. And with the court of Roger Goodell, it's one that, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit tough. And, you know, particularly at a time, not that this plays totally into it, but remember, they are negotiating with the NFLPA, you know, about trying to do, you know, some things as far as the collective bargaining agreement. And part of that, I think, would be they're going to lighten up on some of the ways that they do things, at least maybe go into more of an independent type of thing. So I think that, you know, like in the case of Antonio Brown and his grievance, I think they wanted to take as much time as they can because there's so many different people to talk to. So first you have to determine, okay, who do we need to talk to? Who do we need to, you know, get in contact with? Is it easy or hard to get a hold of these people? You know, sometimes in a domestic case or whatever, they, you know, the person or whatever, or, you know, the person doesn't want to talk. And so that becomes a little more problematic. And so we don't know those details, but, you know, I think caution is better to do it. But also, you know, from the planning purposes and the pay purpose and everything else, you want as a quick of a decision as you possibly can.
John Clayton, brought to you by ServiceMaster. Water damage, fire damage, gold, mold, it's ServiceMaster. John, better chance the Steelers sneak into the playoffs as the AFC North champion or as the second wild card in the AFC?
Second wild card. I think Baltimore right now is too good. They've got too much of a lead. I mean, what they got, you know, what, three games on the Steelers right now. And you look at them, I mean, having just watched Lamar Jackson, you know, he's really good. I mean, he is sensational in what he's able to do. And as long as he can, you know, keep his body okay, and I think that they're uncatchable, particularly in a conference like this where, you know, you have very few times that you face winning teams. I mean, what is it? There's only seven winning teams right now in the AFC, and a lot of that's a byproduct of teams like Buffalo, New England, although New England's really good, but Buffalo, in the case, you know, they don't play anybody. And so, yeah, I think, you know, Baltimore, their schedule, particularly getting the win over Seattle, that I think puts them over the top. So what I think the Steelers are chasing, just like everybody else, that's why 2-5 teams can still be in it, or even 2-4 teams, is that chance to get that second wild card.
John, if you were ranking MVP candidates right now, where would Jackson be on your list?
I'd say probably four, maybe, you know, because, you know, Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, you know, although I think Deshaun Watson dropped down a little bit because he was in the mix, and Christian McCaffrey is definitely in the mix. But I'd say right now he's probably moved into the number four hole, but then you're making a big charge by Aaron Rodgers. So I think right now you've got, you know, six or seven real strong candidates. And it kind of varies from week in and week off. I mean, Wilson did not have a good game last week. You know, Mahomes got hurt, although he's trying to come back and amazingly trying to play with that dislocated kneecap. He was on the practice field today. So, but, you know, Aaron Rodgers, all of a sudden, you know, he's rising up in the mix.
John Clayton joining us here on 93.7 The Fan. John, should Patriots fans just make plans to be in Miami on February 2nd for Super Bowl 54? Is that a done deal in
your
opinion?
I would say so. Yeah. I mean, right now, who's going to stop them? I mean, because you look at the way that schedule breaks down, it's about as easy. I mean, it's interesting because, again, great teams that have easy schedules can go a long way. I mean, you go back, I mean, the easiest schedule that I remember, and I think it was 343 or 363, was the Ram team, the greatest, the greatest team on turf, and what they were able to do in beating Tennessee and getting to the Super Bowl. But their schedule was so easy. And you look right now, I mean, it's about 380 right now for the Patriots. I mean, the only winning team that they've played is Buffalo so far. And they and you know, they're really not good on offense right now, even though they're winning. But no, I think you make the plans, because who's going to catch them for the number one seed? I can't see anybody doing.
John, they've given up 27 points total. Their defense, they've given up 48, but the offense has technically been responsible for three of those scores against, with a fumble, a couple fumbles, and an interception return for a touchdown. I've heard people say the following, that they've played such an easy schedule that you can't really give their defense as much credit as the numbers would suggest, because they've played virtually nobody. The Steelers, you could argue, the best team and quarterback they've played, but they always own the Steelers in Foxborough. Mm-hmm. Where do you come down on historically putting what they've done defensively into context and what they might be capable of all year?
Well, I mean, again, I think you have to kind of water it down a little bit, because remember, they've played four games in the worst division, or one of the worst divisions in football. I mean, yeah, Buffalo's got a 4-1 record, but again, that's because they play easy games, and you know, they've only played the one winning team, which is New England, and you know, Tennessee, they dropped down. That was a good win on the road for there. But remember, they're 4-0 in that division, and so look at the quarterbacks in the division. You know, whether it's going to be Josh Rosen or Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, Bill's going to be able to handle those. And then you got Josh Allen, who didn't put up a lot of points against the Patriots. And then, of course, you know, Sam Darnold was just absolutely brutal. And so, you know, four of their seven wins are in the division. It's not going to score many points. And everybody else isn't good on offense. And so, you know, you have to water it down a little bit. But, you know, the scary part is, when you put about this seven-game stretch historically, I mean, it reminds you, even though it's not the same and it's not even close as the 76 Steelers. Because the one thing I think you're seeing with the Patriots right now that we saw with the 76 Steelers is that they not only defied you to score, which you don't, they defied you to get a first down. I mean, this Patriot team going against these bad boys are really defying you to even get a first down. I mean, look at them. I mean, have you ever seen, and again, a lot of this is the young quarterbacks that they've played, a team right now that has 18 interceptions and only one touchdown pass allowed? I've never seen that.
Me neither. Here's what I struggle with, and I'm a guy, John, that I think Belichick has had more to do with their success than Brady. I think Belichick is the greatest coach of all time. How is it that that New England defense is so good, and the Steelers defense with 9 first round picks isn't even close to what New England's defense is? What makes it? Because on paper, John, I don't know. When I look at the names for the Patriots defense, how many Hall of Famers are there? Maybe one? I mean, is that like they're loaded like that 76 Steelers defense that you just named? What is it that makes them great?
Well, what it is Bill Belichick's ability to, you know, recognize the talent that he has and come up with packages that take advantage of that talent. And, you know, he's so good at being able to say, okay, I want this third, fourth round linebacker, so I'll give this for Kyle Vannoy. I mean, a lot of the success this year, you know, came with the fact that, you know, he was able to get 2 first rounders back. You know, Danny Shelton, who is on the defensive line, even though he's more of a role player, and Jamie Collins, yep, who's back to playing at a Pro Bowl level. And so, you know, he's been real good in the secondary. I mean, certainly where it was critical when he signed, Stephon Gilmore. But then Gilmore has played as good as any cornerback in the league, because when he left Buffalo, he was suspect and not considered to be as great as the contract that they gave him. You know, you look at the safety positions, they've always been pretty good there. Hightower's good, you know, Vannoy. So it's not as if they have first-rounders, but they have a lot of second-, third-round guys that play good football, and he comes up with the packages that week-in and week-out work.
John, over in the NFC, you've got the one-time heir apparent to Tom Brady, Jimmy Garoppolo, and his team's not doing so poor either. They're undefeated. Do you think that they're for real? Are they the best team in the NFC right now in your mind?
No. New Orleans is the best team in the NFC. New Orleans right now, the fact that they could go, I mean, they're the most complete team in the conference because they're good on defense, very good on defense, and they were able to win 5 games with a backup quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater. I mean, think about the fact they went into Chicago. They put up 151 yards on the Bears defense, which is supposedly loaded. You know, they get that victory, and they didn't have Alvin Kamara, they didn't have Jared Cook, and they didn't have Drew Brees. Now this week they hope to have Drew Brees back, and so I think they're really going to go on a roll. But at the moment, you'd have to say San Francisco is the second best team in the conference, but like New England, who have they played? I mean, you know, they played teams right now. I mean, the only winning team that they played was the Rams, and the Rams, they caught them at a time that their offense was just a mess, and they were able to take advantage of it. You know, the big thing with them is their defense. I mean, they've improved on defense just about more than any other team in the league, and that's going to stay because they got Nick Bosa, Dee Ford, and Kwame Alexander, and those three guys have really elevated their defense.
John Clayton, 93.7, the Fan NFL Insider with us. John, give me another big name that you think is going to get traded between now and the trade deadline.
Let's see. I think you get Chris Harris maybe going to Philadelphia or a team in need of a cornerback. I can see that happening. Maybe Tyler Eifert down in Cincinnati. I can maybe see the Patriots making a little bit of a move on him. I'm kind of wondering about Leonard Williams with the New York Jets. I mean, would a team like Indianapolis try to step up and get him? Because, he's big money, and right now the Colts have plenty of cap room. The names we won't see are O.J. Howard. You know, we won't see A.J. Green being traded. I think they'll stand by them. But, we're up to 98 trades right now. We had three yesterday, one on Monday. And so I'd anticipate there's going to be about five more trades. But they're all fascinating because, again, teams are willing to spend to get the guys that they want.
John, really quickly here, Mason Rudolph has expressed locally a desire to basically throw the ball down the field a little bit more, it sounds like. Do you think that even if he does that against the Dolphins and puts up some numbers, you can really extrapolate anything given the fact that it's a JV team out there that he's going against?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at it as a preseason game. So it's like if there's a game that you want to try something, this would be the game. Because, they've given away their pass rush. You know, they've got one good cornerback. Rashad Jones is a Pro Bowl safety. But, again, he's been kind of injured the last several weeks. So this would be the game that you want to try to do it. So if you want to go downfield, do it against the Dolphins. You know, because you're not going to face a team as bad as that. You know, this is like a once-in-a-lifetime experience to face a team this bad. And it's purposely this bad. So it's like, I thought that it was smart to keep the ball short, not get the ball downfield too much. I mean, you saw that with Derek Carr when, John Gruden for a couple of weeks kept the ball short. But at some point, you got to test things out because, what they're going to do is stack up against the run. And all of a sudden, at some point, they start guessing where the ball is going to be on these short passes and make up for it. But, no, I think this is a game where you try to throw a little bit deeper.
John, do you think once the trade dominoes fall, or maybe they don't for certain teams, that one that lost out on a wide receiver, do you think they could end up kicking the tires on Antonio Brown this year?
No, I don't think so. I think at this stage, he's more headache than he is success right now. I mean, and you still wonder in the back of your mind, does he really want to play? Why does he keep making these decisions? For example, I guess one of the things that's going to be held against him, rightfully so, in Oakland is how many times he texted Mark Davis about being traded and getting out of there. And, of course, he's trying to say, well, I was a good soldier out there and all that stuff, and he had walked away from the team. And so, no, I think that, at this stage, you wait till next year to see what's going on with him. I don't think anybody's going to take the chance this year, even the teams that don't get the wide receiver.
John Clayton, our 93.7 The Fan NFL Insider. John, how about this for a Halloween idea? You go as Sam Darnold and your date goes as a ghost. You like that?
I like it, yeah. I think that's a pretty good idea because then, first off, you want to see your girlfriend, or you want to see the person you're going to be with, and so then you're going to be, if you're seeing ghosts and you're seeing something I guess you expect and you like. So, yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, but the only thing is if you're going to be doing that, don't you think you have Adam Gaze's eyes?
Oh, God.
That's a tough one.
You need to have somebody person there with Adam Gaze's eyes.
I don't even want to think about that. I thought I had two cups of coffee this morning and I was shaking a little bit. That's like getting out of bed for Adam Gaze. If he even sleeps in a bed, if he's not on a cot in his office.
Or vampire.
But, I mean, how about that first press conference that he had?
Oh, I know.
And his eyeballs were popping out. And his name is Gaze.
All right, John. Good talk. We'll do it again next week.
Okay, thanks.
There you go. John Clayton.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.